Morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, on Monday, the 4th of June 2018. I hope you are all very well and you've had a great weekend. We've got an interesting show ahead of you this morning. We're going to be talking about the undiagnosed symptoms of type 2 diabetes and why it's important if you can recognise any of these conditions that maybe you go and have a chat to your doctor. We're also going to be talking about the black seed oil, which some of you may have heard about, but most people haven't, and how black seed oil can massively improve your health. And I have with me my special guest on the show this morning. We have Phil Snowden from Meta Evolution Gym. Good morning, Phil. How are you?
Morning, Neil. Very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much. It's good to have you on the show. And we're going to be finding out more about what Phil does in about 15 minutes or so. So as usual, if you'd like to tweet into the show, if you'd like a shout out or you'd like to make contact with us, you can find us on Twitter at Health Radio Show using the hashtag Health Matters Radio Show. And also on Facebook, if you search Health Matters Radio Show, you can find the show's Facebook feed. And as normal, if you'd like to contact me directly by email, you can find me via my website at www.i-nutrition.com. .co.uk. We have a few shout outs which I'll do just after the first song, so if you'd like a shout out in the meantime, drop me a tweet, go to at Health Radio Show and make contact with me there. So a quick disclaimer before we crack on with the show this morning. So the purpose of the Health Matters Radio Show is to provide competent information on the subject matters covered and to help educate, inform and enlighten you in ways to improve your own health. However, this is on the understanding that I am not engaged in providing medical advice and the content of the show should not be treated as a substitute for such. If you have any concerns about your general health or you require medical assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in many cases does not need to be your doctor. It can be obtained by dialing 111 or speaking with your local pharmacist. And all the content in the show is provided for general information only and is based on my knowledge, my experience and often my opinion, and I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the content of the show. So now we have that out the way. Type 2 diabetes, it's a growing epidemic that seems to, despite the best efforts of governments and Public Health England, it seems to be growing year by year. And in fact, in 1996, there were 1.4 million type 2 diabetics, diagnosed type 2 diabetics. And in just over 20 years, that's leapt up to over 4 million. So there's a massive health crisis, which kind of goes hand in hand with the obesity crisis as well that we're facing today. But type 2 diabetes can be quite an insidious condition. So some of the symptoms can go undetected for many, many years. In fact, there's some cases where type 2 diabetes has actually gone undiagnosed for 10 years. And at the point that the symptoms become manifest, normally that individual is in quite a lot of trouble. So we're going to go through very quickly what type 2 diabetes is and also some of the symptoms that maybe you or someone that you know or maybe a loved one, you may be able to recognize in them. And it doesn't mean they've got type 2 by any means, but it might be worth a chat with your doctor because, as I say, the symptoms go undetected for a long time, but when they do become detectable, there is normally quite a serious issue. So type 1, type 2, most people know type 1 and type 2. Type 1 is an autoimmune disease, tends to come on very young, tends to affect children under 10 years old, although it can develop in older age. And it's totally non-lifestyle and diet related. So it's an autoimmune disease where your body basically destroys the pancreatic cells that produce insulin, which is the hormone your body produces to control blood sugars. However, type 2 diabetes, for the most part, is actually avoidable and, for the most part, unfortunately, is self-inflicted. So type 2 diabetes, in type 2 diabetes, your body still produces insulin, but you lose your ability to actually respond properly to it. So blood glucose then builds up in the in your body, in your bloodstream, and over extended periods of time, this can obviously become quite dangerous. Normally, type 2 appears when you get over 40, but there's many, many cases now, an increasing number of cases where people under 25 are developing type 2 diabetes. It used to be called adult onset. It was the middle-aged person's disease. But it's also been found in children as well, and that's obviously linked to their diet, their lifestyle, processed foods, sugary foods, drinks, etc., etc. But type 2 diabetes is also linked with obesity. So if you're overweight, you have a high risk of developing type 2 diabetes and high blood pressure and also high cholesterol. But it's not always down to being overweight. I know a few people who are, on the face of it, you'd say they were a normal weight, but they are still type 2 diabetic. But generally speaking, if you're carrying too much fat, particularly around the belly, then that can be a precursor to type 2 diabetes. And interestingly, 700 people a day in this country are diagnosed with type 2. So despite all the best efforts by the government to actually reduce it down and all these incentives and programs they put into place, the problem just keeps growing and growing. So I'm here just to actually inform you that you may actually have type 2 diabetes and not realize it. And if you have these symptoms, I would suggest you go and have a chat to your doctor. So these are some of the things that, not necessarily in isolation, but together can be an indicator of undiagnosed type 2 diabetes. And there are around 700,000 people in the UK that have type 2 and don't yet know it. So here are some of the symptoms that you may be able to identify with. So increased thirst, going to the toilet a lot, especially during the night, increased hunger, a constant dry mouth, itching down below. Without going into too much detail, when you start passing glucose through your urine, then that is the perfect breeding ground for bacteria and yeast, and that causes infections down there. If you're suffering with fatigue or headaches or blurred vision, the blurred vision is an interesting one because the increase in blood sugar actually affects the lens of the eye, and it can cause intermittent blurred vision. So if you do feel you're getting blurred vision, do have a chat to your doctor. If you cut yourself or you grazed yourself and your cuts and grazes are quite slow to heal, that can be an indicator. And also, if you suffer from nausea or vomiting, that could possibly be a symptom as well. So in isolation, they're not necessarily an issue, but if you can relate to one, maybe two or three of these, and they're constant, they don't just come and go and disappear, but they're constantly with you, then perhaps it's worth having a chat with your GP. They can do a simple blood test. You may find that it's not an issue at all, or you may find that you've caught type 2 diabetes early on, and it makes it a lot easier to deal with and to manage, and potentially reverse as well if you catch it earlier on rather than have full-blown type 2. So some of the things that some of the body functions that type 2 affects, it affects the heart. It has massive impact on your cardiovascular system, which can lead to things like strokes and heart attacks. It affects the eyes. There's a condition called diabetic retinopathy, which can lead to blindness if it's not dealt with. It can affect the feet. It can affect the nervous system. And in fact, type 2 diabetes is the leading cause of foot amputation in this country. So when people are diagnosed type 2, they just think, it just means I've got to take some metformin and manage my blood sugar. Actually, it's a lot more serious than that. The potential consequences of not managing and dealing with type 2 properly can affect your life, but it can also lead to things like foot amputation. And also in advanced type 2, it has a massive impact on the kidneys, because you get to a point where the body can't deal with the excess glucose itself, so it starts to pass out glucose through the urine, and that puts a huge strain on the kidneys, which again can lead in advanced cases to things like kidney failure, which will lead to then needing transplantation or going on to dialysis and all sorts of unpleasant things. So obviously prevention is better than cure. As many of you know, I'm on a mission at the minute that by the year 2030, I want to have educated 100 million people about how to prevent, to manage, or to reverse type 2 diabetes. So this is me giving back and trying to help people to actually identify the condition, even if they are undiagnosed, and to help them to manage it if they have issues, and potentially to actually reverse it and get them off medication. So again, if you can recognise some of those symptoms, please do have a chat with your doctor. As I say, a simple blood test will either confirm it, in which case you can deal with it, or it will confirm that it's not an issue and you've got the peace of mind knowing that you're not a pre-diabetic or that you have impaired glucose tolerance. But diabetes, type 2 diabetes, is one of those conditions where ignorance is not bliss. Trust me. So on today's show, we have music from a particular year. For regular listeners, you'll know that I pick a year and then I pick three songs from that year. And today I'm going to be taking you back 46 years. I can't believe it's 46 years. It is really, really scary. So 46 years, 1972. The first song we have on this morning is a great song by Roxy Music, and it's Virginia Plain.
Take the big time. Take me on a roller coaster. Take me for an ending ride. Take me for a 6-day wonder. Don't you pull my pride aside, aside. What's real and made with me? Baby James and Acapulco, we are flying out to Rio. Yeah, you're so chic, dude, wherever love we eat. Just me two, got to search for something new.
JobsInKent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, JobsInKent.com.
Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, on Monday the 4th of June. In fact, is it Monday the 4th or is it the 5th? It is the 4th, isn't it? Lose track of time. Time goes so quick. I can't believe we're in June already. In a moment, we're going to be interviewing my special guest this morning, Phil Snowden from the Meta Evolution Gym. But before that, I've got a couple of shout-outs. One for my good friend, Terry Botfield, who runs a Romney Marsh networking group, or group of meetings at different times of the day. But we have a networking meeting coming up at the Sinkport Arms in New Romney this coming Wednesday, which will be the 6th. From 10 o'clock till midday. So that's on Wednesday, 10 o'clock at the Sinkport Arms in New Romney. I put a link on the show's Facebook page. So if you go to Facebook and search Health Matters Radio Show, you will see a link to Terry's networking event and you can find all the information that you need there. And also, I'd like to give a mention out to Child Aid in Eastern Europe. Child Aid in Eastern Europe is a charity that I've become associated with and that I've made my nominated charity for 2018. And they do some tremendous work with underprivileged children in Eastern Europe. So countries like Ukraine, Belarus, Moldova, some of the real poorest countries within Europe. Unfortunately, in these poor countries, it's the children that are suffering. And Child Aid to Eastern Europe actually deals with child abandonment. They deal with child education, healthcare, and they also help children that are vulnerable as well. So in my opinion, it's a great cause. If you'd like to find out more about the charity, the website is www.childaidee.org.uk, and you can also contribute without contributing, if that makes sense, by placing your next order through Amazon. Amazon will actually contribute money to the charity direct. It doesn't cost you anything. They will contribute money direct to the charity with every purchase that you make. And again, if you go to my website, click on the nominated charity page, the link to Amazon's there. Just click on that, order as normal, and then Amazon will give the charity a little bit of money in return. So everyone wins. Okay, so on to our special guest interview for this morning. I have, as I mentioned, with me, Phil Snowden from the Meta Evolution Gym. Good morning, Phil.
Morning,
everyone. It's great to see you this morning. So we're going to find out more about Phil, about his background, where he's come from, his journey, and also where he is now in terms of the gym and his plans for the future. So, Phil, let's start with your background. How did you get into doing what you do? What was your journey from leaving school?
Well, if we kind of rewind right back, going back to school, I was an overweight child. So, you know, I used to have been people taking the mick out of me for long periods of time. Uh-huh. So one of my weight loss strategies at a very naive age was to leave leave school and join the army. So, yeah, after my exams, I joined the army.
So how old were you?
I was literally, I turned 16 and then 2 weeks later I was in, yeah.
Wow.
Handing life over.
Cool.
But, you know, it was a great experience. I learned a lot as a lad. I obviously got into shape and that sort of was the baseline to developing my thirst, if you like, for increasing my own performance. Mm-hmm. Obviously out of necessity at that point. So I did a few tours in the army, so Iraq when it all kicked off.
So was that 2003?
Yeah, I think it was. Crikey, I think I'm 50, at that age
15
now.
Years ago.
Yeah, I'm at that
wow.
age now.
Is that when scary.
At your age. So, 2003, I guess. And then pretty much straight after that, headed over to Northern Ireland to do some sneaky beaky stuff, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And then in 2006, after my last tour in Afghanistan, returned home. And that's when I decided, I want to do some stuff for myself. Mm-hmm. I wanted to serve people in a different way. I had like a purpose to fulfill, if you like. And I thought that a natural progression to do that would be to go into like the fitness industry. So that's what I did. Went into personal training. And from there, I went into working in a local gym, mm-hmm. where I was a freelance personal trainer. And, you know, having come out of the army where everything was done for me, basically, I had to sort of look out for myself and fend for myself. And, you know, I had no idea about developing and growing a business, which being self-employed, obviously you are, mm-hmm. as if any self-employed person would know. I didn't know about how to promote myself. I didn't know about bookkeeping or anything like that. So, again, very sort of naive, really.
And lots of people are good at what they do.
Yeah.
But and then jump into running their own business because they're good at what they do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they think that they can do it better. And often they do, but they don't realise all the
other stuff.
All that other stuff, yeah, which is the polite words, I think, that go into running a successful business.
Exactly.
So, so how old were you when you left the army?
So I was 22 at that point.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So you'd done a fair amount of duty.
Yeah, so by that
duty.
Time. Yeah, yeah. So by that time, obviously I was still very young, but I still had a bit of worldly experience. So I think I managed to build like a rapport with, you know, my clients who are obviously older than me. But yeah, I mean, it served me very well, and it, you know, taught me a lot as well. Like when I come out of the army, I was actually kind of dead against it. That I didn't want to really mention it. I didn't like it at all. You know, I really sort of resented it. But actually, when I started growing up and getting over myself, you know, it taught me a lot of values. You know, loyalty, respect,
discipline,
absolutely, amongst other things as well. And once I sort of started getting on and getting over myself, then I started to be able to associate the business world with my sort of military background, like the systems and processes, for instance, like the levels of leadership, you know, how things need to work in a certain order, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, that being said, I actually, after sort of 5 years being freelance, I joined the NHS to work in the public health department, working with the GP referral program, which is where we was dealing with pretty much the illest of the ill in Medway, you know, seriously overweight people, people with diabetes, for instance, people who'd literally just had like heart attacks. So 6 weeks later of like having post-op, you know, double heart bypasses, what have you.
Yeah.
We was literally sort of training them in the gym and working them hard as well. You know, we, as part of the protocol, you've got to kind of make them sweat.
And did they want to be there?
The guys who had the heart attacks, definitely, because that was like a, well, that was a close call. Like, this is my second chance.
Wake up call, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Whereas like the people who were generally more overweight and were sent there by the doctor, it didn't quite, they weren't there because they wanted to. They were there because they were told to.
Yeah.
The guys who, with COPD, for instance, worked with a lot of people with COPD, which is a respiratory sort of disease, if you like. Basically, because it was more degenerative, it was quite sad because they were getting this free available service, but not taking advantage of it. So you'd still find them having a fag before they came in to the gym and when they left.
Right.
And
and
these people were like barely able to walk 100 meters without having to stop, you know, with oxygen canisters. So it was very sad. Again, very rewarding in certain ways, but I still felt I could give more. You know, I invested a lot in myself, like financially, like to develop my education. So this is a real passion for me. I knew it was something I really want to pursue. So I thought, hold on, I can still do more. And at the time, I was kind of moonlighting as well. So out of my garage, the first studio, the first Meta studio, I was training my clients out of there, existing clients. And I remember, like, you know, we're talking about a single car carriage as well.
It wasn't even a double.
And I had to be like, depending on what time of the evening it was as well, I had to like keep it quiet because I didn't want to disturb the neighbours. So yeah, it was cool. I remember people coming to the garage door, like knocking on the tin door and having to open the door and like say, can you give me 5 minutes while I finish with my client? So, but my clients, they stuck with it, you know, they were still getting results. And that.
So that's really interesting because that is real proof that people buy from people.
Yeah.
Well, because there are shiny gym palaces out there and some multinational companies that run, you know, many, many gyms across the country. But they were happy to come to you because it was you.
But at the time, again, still quite naive about the whole business. I didn't realise that, you know, and I was quite embarrassed at the fact, you know, I was bringing people to my home to sort of train and like being, do you want some water? I'll just quickly nip to the kitchen. I was actually making quite a bit of money from that as well. I don't know why I stopped. But again, I just wanted to grow. I still felt like I could help more people. Obviously, if you're working one-to-one with people, again, on like an hourly basis, like you can't make it go any faster. Like an hour is an hour at the end of the day. So you can only serve so many people and service yourself as well, because it can be quite exhausting working with people and like giving it your all for up to 8 hours a day. You know, I'm not taking discrediting any anybody with an occupation who works like 9 to 5. But, you know, to be enthusiastic is kind of full on for like 8 hours. So, from there, it was like my first business partner was like, right, okay, we're doing a fancy hooking up. Let's see if we can open up the studio and see if we can grow it.
And get to more people.
Yeah, and we did it. I mean, we opened up the first studio. I remember we kind of looked at different locations again, very, very naively. We're offering landlords like free personal training as part of our agreement to get the facility.
Yeah.
They must just thought, clear off. and then we obviously come to a desperate landlord who needed someone to move in. So we smashed the place apart, made it our own for like, a budget. And we're talking, this is probably about 6 years ago, I think, we moved into the first studio.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah. And we just started taking over. I was at that point in time, I was still working in the NHS. So I was like, well, I'll save up a little bit of money and then I'll leave. I'll save up a bit of money and then I'll leave. And that just went on and on.
That never comes, does it?
Yeah,
it never happens.
Exactly. And because I was comfortable making money from the GP referral program, like in full-time employment. So that was like 37.5 hours plus my personal training stuff, I was
so
like,
you were literally working during the day and then working
in the evenings and mornings and weekends.
And
the nights, yeah.
Wow.
So, but like, that's the life of a personal trainer. I think like
you've got to be around when people aren't working.
Yeah. Exactly. And like, I think we're fortunate because we obviously keep fit and healthy, and the more energy you put in, the more you get out kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't even think about working from 6:30 till 10 flat out with clients. That's a general.
Is that half six in the morning till 10 in the morning?
Easy life.
Part timer.
I wouldn't even blink at that. So you get into a bit of a comfort zone, and I think that's what a lot of our clients do as well. It's a very nerve-wracking experience kind of taking the first step. And like, I'm just using work as an example there, because there must be a lot of people like petrified to move from job to job when they hate it so much. And it got to a point where I did, and I was just like, well, I'm safe, I'm secure. I'll just get a little bit more behind me before I make the jump. Mm. And I don't know, on the day it came to handing my notice in, I was like, do you know what? You saw this. I'm doing it. And I didn't have any money behind me. I didn't have any savings. So like, and it was like 8 months.
That is a brave move.
Saving. So I took the leap and I had nothing. I had a few hours of personal training, which wasn't enough to pay my bills or anything, not by any means. But I was like, I've got to do it. And like within 4 weeks, I got my business up. Like, I don't know about you, but like, if you're thrown into the lion's den.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's amazing how not having a job and not having any money kind of focuses the mind, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And for myself, I kind of thrive on that kind of thing. And I kind of think it comes a little bit from the army as well, like things changing on a daily basis, having to react. And I love doing it. And like, I'll shimp and moan about it when it's happening, but actually I couldn't live without it. I love that kind of.
So you're one of these kind of guys that gets stuff done.
Yeah, absolutely. When my back's against the wall, that's when I kind of do very well. And that's kind of why I do very well with my clients as well, because they've got to a position where I've got to change. And that's when I find I work well with the most committed people and get the best results.
And the ones that need the most help.
Yeah. They're like, right, I've got to make a change. And then it's like, right, okay, this is what we need to do to get there.
Yeah.
Let's work on, simple steps to get you there that are achievable, but don't get me wrong, I'm still going to stretch you. And there's nothing like being stretched well out of your comfort zone and then actually getting the satisfaction out of the reward to like, yeah, I've done that. And like being whew. And like, my personality is I get to that point and then I'm like, right, what next? Which is
lucky them.
Yeah, quite detrimental.
Okay, so let's fast forward to where we are now. Obviously you've got the Meta Gym in Chatham.
Yep.
So in what ways do you personally help people, and what ways can the gym help people?
Well, myself, how can I help with you? Well, it goes without saying I can help people lose weight, but it does a lot more than that.
Yeah.
Or I do a lot more than that. It's giving people, I don't want to sound like a martyr, but inspiration like I see the potential in everyone, which is sometimes a downfall, but I know that everyone has the potential to do so well. And I know what comes from being healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I did a challenge with a client a couple of years ago. This was actually in the midst of moving into our second studio. So bearing in mind, we were having to find a lot of money, refurbish one facility while still running another facility. I just had a child at that time as well. I set a challenge with one of my clients who was coming up with all these reasons why he couldn't lose weight. So I was like, well, okay, how about I'll get to the same weight as you and I'll drop the weight down again before you can even drop the weight down.
Do you know what? I remember you doing this.
Yeah, Fit Fat Feel Challenge it was called.
Yeah.
So I didn't think he'd go for it. And he's like, yeah, all right. And we shook hands and I went and threw up because I was like, what have I just done? And I went straight for a run as well. Like, this could be my last run for a while. So, yeah, so the aim of the game was, like, to put on as much weight as quickly as possible. And it wasn't to do it in an unhealthy way either. So that's been done, like, if you've seen the Netflix.
Yeah, Super Science Media.
If you eat loads of McDonald's, that's obvious you're going to put on weight.
Yeah.
Whereas we wanted to do it in the way that people are actually putting
Other junk food brands are available.
Yeah.
Fast food, not junk food.
Yeah, exactly. So we wanted to do it in a way that were sort of healthy eating mistakes, should you say, or lifestyle mistakes.
Okay.
So
often through miseducation.
Yeah. So for instance, I went from like a higher protein breakfast to like a higher carbohydrate breakfast.
Yep.
So I was eating like loads of cereal, for instance.
Yeah.
I would have more starchier carbs and bigger portion sizes as well. Don't get me wrong. I didn't necessarily reduce my activity by much. I went down to training 3 days a week.
Right.
Because it was obviously a stressful time for me, because obviously I had a lot of work going on. I was, you know, 2 jobs, 2 facilities I was having to look after, plus my staff, plus my just then born child, I think, or unborn child. So like, I was a lot was going on, and obviously having to put on the weight as well. So I deserved a treat in the evening, a couple of tins of beer or glasses of wine, something like that. If anyone offered me something, I had to accept it as well, because I didn't want to be impolite or be socially awkward or anything like that either. So it was all helped towards kind of making me store more body fat. Cereal bars, another one, like the healthy cereal bars.
The healthy cereal bars that are packed full of sugar.
Oh my God, yeah. And like my guts on the first day, God, I had to visit the toilet, you know, like 8 times on the first day, I remember.
Too much detail.
It was horrific.
I'm scarred for life now.
Not as much as the guys in the studio. But like, so anyway, over 5 week period, I managed to put on 10 kilos of fat. And that's not weight. We're talking about fat mass.
Wow.
So I managed to get to said 23% body fat, which is where my client was sitting.
23?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So we went from 13 to 23%. So, yeah, 10 kilos, 10% body fat. So he thought he was at a bit of time. But obviously, where I got closer to him, I think he was at that point about 18% body fat or something. But we did cross paths, so to speak, so we could see the comparisons between each other. Anyway, I was like well on it then. I was like literally doing handstands. Like, I was so happy to be able to get back into being healthy, because like everything was affected. My concentration, like I'd be counting clients' reps and then just space out and be like, where am I? Like, what number was we on? And they'd be like, 3. We're like, okay, 4, 5. Like, it was just like, obviously, apart from my bowel movements being one, like my energy levels, I've just got so lethargic. It was just horrible. Don't get me wrong, it was nice to chill out in the evening with my wife at the time, you know, like being able to have a glass of wine and a few beers. It was nice to sort of unwind, because obviously I wouldn't do that on a daily basis. But it was pretty horrible. Oh, you couldn't pay me to do it again. No way.
And the interesting thing is people go through their entire lives feeling that way and accepting it like it's normal.
And that's what just baffles me, and that's what I don't get out. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's given me an empathy for how people were feeling, because, you know, where I was putting on weight, I was very, very conscious about what I looked like. Specifically as a fitness professional, I mean, walking outside in my uniform, representing my brand, overweight. I was embarrassed by that, you know. I looked like the guy who was in denial, like where my shirts were just too tight and I had to undo my belt like and undo my buttons on my trousers. But I was like, oh yeah, it was kind of like, well, there's no point because I'm going to lose weight again. But again, it's another trap that people get into, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to lose weight. I'm not going to buy any more clothes. So, I literally couldn't wait to get the body weight back down again.
Yeah.
Anyway, it kind of led us up to the almost Christmas, which was our deadline. so that we could do our annual Meta Awards. And Andy actually beat me by 0.4% body fat. So, wow. Yeah, he managed to get down to, well, he got down to 12% body fat in the end. So it's a win-win for me. Like, obviously, I learned a lot from it. My client got the results he wanted from it. You know, we was able to share our story, which is on YouTube as well. But, yeah, it was a really bizarre experience. And I, like I say, I can't understand. And I feel sorry for people who don't actually know what it's like to be healthy. Because in a week, you can make such a difference to your life. Yeah. And that's all it took. You just watch the videos on YouTube, right? You'd see the mood I was in, like almost in tears in some of those videos. It was just so down. And then a week later, just completely different.
It does go to show just how much your diet does affect not just your physical being, but also your mental well-being absolutely. As well.
And I didn't realise, because obviously I do a lot of reading, as any fitness professional does, like it says about how food affects you, but you don't realise how much until you put yourself through for something like that, honestly.
Yeah, for sure.
You can read about
it
all you like.
So tell me about the Paralympic gold.
Oh, yeah, Charlotte. So we used to train her for a long, long time. So when she was 15, I started training her.
Okay.
So we did a bit of work together. And then, she went forwards and won the gold medal. I mean, she obviously went off to do her thing with the coaching team after a while, the putting her through a conditioning camp, if you like, with myself. And, yeah, she's done amazing. She's a superstar.
Wow. So what discipline was it?
It's downhill skiing. So she basically guided a blind girl skiing in front of her.
Yeah.
So they use like a communication device, speaker and and they won the first Great Britain's to win gold. Yeah.
Fantastic.
That was in Sochi,
wow. So is she a local girl?
She's from Medway Towns. Yeah.
Fantastic.
She's doing very well now. You know, she got an MBE or an OBE or something like that in the end. Yeah. She's done amazing. Very, very proud of her.
Brilliant. So with regards to the gym itself, obviously it's a gym and kind of people know what gyms are, or if you're Homer Simpson, a gyme, as a very, very famous episode where you say, what's a gyme? But anyway, so obviously people know what gyms do. So with regards to the Meta Evolution Gym, what services can people expect to be presented with when they come down to the gym? Obviously it's the physical side, but what other services do you offer down there?
It's the confidence that we give people, I think. Which sounds like a bit of a cliche, I understand, but it's a safe environment that we create. You know, we've sort of established taking that first step for anybody in any walk of life is a very, very daunting experience. Now,
and actually just walking into a gym for most people.
Exactly. Yeah. Imagine it, that you feel very conscious about what you look like. You know you're unhealthy. You know you're unfit as well, and you're just about to step into a gym with all these beautiful people.
Beach body,
if you've actually been into a gym, isn't like that at all. But like in the studio where we work out of, like everyone's in the same boat, but people don't have time to concentrate on what everyone else is doing because they're just worrying about getting through their set, which their personal trainer's putting them through. So it's the environment that we create is what's particularly special. And like the education that we deliver as well is in a coaching approach to healthy, sustainable lifestyle. So
rather than a classroom kind of environment.
So we it's that whole give a man a net, fish forever kind of thing. So we give our clients the tools, if you like, to take ownership for their own health. And I don't like to use the word accountability, but we are there just to help them and, I guess, in loose terms, keep them accountable, but also keep track as well. So we monitor them regularly, like using an app like MyFitnessPal, if you're familiar with it. Mm-hmm. And then, every month they know they're going to get an assessment. We'll sit down, we'll go through a proper goal setting strategy, which will work together, which will stretch the client, but also set realistic, achievable goals.
Right.
Okay. Which we know we can both work on together. And like, I don't want to say, attainable, because all goals should stretch you. So, you should be thinking, I want to get ripped. Like everyone should be thinking that. But like, if they don't get there, then don't worry about it. You get to a point that you're happy with.
Yeah. Well, what's that saying? Aim for the stars and hit the moon or something.
Exactly.
Or shoot for the stars.
And what happens, what I tend to find with a lot of my clients is, they'll be like, oh yeah, I just want to get down like a couple of kilos or something like that. I just need to, you know, loosen my belt or whatever. But actually, they find that they do that without making too much adjustment to their lifestyle. And they'd be like, well, actually, if I just change this, this, and this, which won't be too much of a hassle, then I'll probably lose another 2 kilos, or I'll probably do 3 kilos.
And then if you get them to do it day after day after day after day, it becomes a habit.
Yeah, exactly that.
And then it becomes a new lifestyle.
Yeah, and then, like, normally by the third month, that's when all the routine's pretty much set. They know everything about the nutrition they need to know. They're in a routine with their training, and that's when the results just start flying through. And then that's when they're like, actually, I could probably push myself a little bit more. Like, that six pack or whatever is looking more achievable now. And like, if they get to a point where they're like, actually, no, I don't want the six pack anymore. I'm quite happy where I am. I'm like, I'm still having a few beers at the weekend.
But they're healthier. That's the point.
Exactly.
That's
and
the
like,
point.
That's generally what we find. It's like, it's not about getting ripped, obviously, but
becoming a better version of yourself.
Yeah.
Mentally and physically as well.
And I'll say more than anything, it all comes back to confidence. One of the first question that we ask our clients is, why are you here? And they all say, oh yeah, I just want to lose a little bit of weight. And we'll be like, okay, so why is that? Oh, just because I want to get a bit fitter. Okay, why is that? Just because I'm just a bit out of breath, or and I just want to play around with the kids. Okay, why is that?
Yeah,
and I'd be like, well, actually, like I feel pretty uncomfortable. Like, I'm embarrassed about putting on my shirt. I had a guy, a client, who, oh my god, I thought I was going to start welling up when he started telling me, you know, like, he's like, if I don't do this, my wife is going to leave me. This is my why. I need to do something. So once we start uncovering the real why,
you dig a bit deeper.
Yeah, it normally pretty much comes down to confidence, and it's like, I just want more confidence to, you know, put on a blazer that I look sharp in. Be more sexually attractive to my partner, to go out and feel comfortable about myself, to take that job interview. I feel I'm going to get judged on if I don't look a certain way. And it shouldn't be about what you look like by any means, but it's what else it gives you. Okay, by looking sharp. If you feel better about yourself, you know,
you do raise your game.
Exactly that. Exactly.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So what are your plans for the coming year? And I know that you do personal trainer training sessions.
Yeah, so we also teach people to become personal trainers. So the idea is that we're aiming to take over the world, basically. We're not here to take part, we're here to take over, Conor McGregor and all that. So, yeah, you know, I literally want to take Meta, you know, as far as I can. You know, the way I see it is, I said before about having a purpose and helping as many people as possible. Well, I believe that I am, you know, here to set a legacy, whether it be providing opportunities for my clients to go on and achieve things. You know, said client who I'd done the Fit Fat Feel challenge with, he's been to the Arctic. I took him to the Arctic, not like this year, the year before.
Yeah.
Where we did a 5-day ultra marathon across the Arctic, which is horrific, by the way. Don't let anyone talk you into doing it.
It's not on the bucket
list. Oh, God. Like, I come back with, like, stress fractures in both shins, just an unhappy bunny. But so he would have never have done that by himself. You know, he's actually away now in Mallorca or something, doing some ridiculous cycling event, and been to Las Vegas to do a 24-hour Tough Mudder. We've got clients who've been to Peru, done the Amazonian Trail, Kilimanjaro. You know, like, they sound like epic things, because they are, but you know, we've also
epic things done by normal people.
Yeah, you know, we're still getting I got a 72-year-old. Right, this is an interesting story. I've got to tell you this, because he's my hero. A 72-year-old client, bless him. He's the nicest human being I think I've ever come across. I wish he was my granddad. And he'd been working for so long trying to get this body, or his body weight down. Anyway, he had a property in Cyprus. So he'd had this property for 15 years with a swimming pool, etc. And until he started losing weight only last year, when he ended up selling his property, was the first time he'd taken his T-shirt off, like, out in it, even by on his own property.
Yeah.
So, like, changing people's lives and having a massive impact like that on as many people as possible makes me sleep well at night. And he even had his first tattoo done at 71. of the Meta symbol. So if you've seen our logo, the little gold symbol, he had that tattooed on his arm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So who is your, I guess you'll work with anyone, but who is your ideal client? For people that are out there listening, who is your real target audience?
For me personally, I like to work with the guys, just being ex-military, I have like a good working relationship with guys who are business owners, as I have more in common with those people. But the studio in itself is for anyone who really wants to make a difference to themselves, get their confidence back, find their mojo again, and I just want to do other stuff in their lives, and we can help you do that. It's about, again, cliche, taking the first step and biting down on your lip and just going, right, okay, I've just got to do this, and then doing it. And you'll be so relieved after you've done the first week that you've done it, and then after the month when you see the first set of results, then you'll be like, why on earth did I leave this for so long?
Fantastic. So how can people make contact with you? What's your website address?
Website is www.metaevolutiongym.co.uk.
Okay, and if people are interested in becoming personal trainers?
That's metaeducation.co.uk. We've actually got a course starting next month.
Fantastic. Well, it's been really good to have you on the show, Phil. It's been really interesting to find out more about your background as well. And I'm excited for you with your plans for the future. Between the both of us, we will change the world.
Yeah.
So thank you again. So we're going to crack on with the show now, and we're going to play one more song from 1972. It's a song that Phil doesn't remember because he's far too young. But it's a great classic by Mott the Hoople, All the Young Dudes.
Kicking in the head when he was 25. Speed jive, don't wanna stay alive when you're 25. And when you're stealing clothes from Marks and Sparks, and Freddy's got spots from ripping up the stars from his face. Funky little boat race. The television man is crazy, Sam with juvenile delinquent rats. It's a real mean team, but we can love. Oh yes, we can love. And my brother's back at home with his Beatles and his Stones. We never got it off on that revolution stove. What a drag. Too many snacks. Nah, I drunk a lot of wine and I'm feeling fine.
Collaborating with like-minded Kent businesses. Join our supplymybusiness.co.uk community today and start growing your Kent business network for just £20 a month.
Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. You've just been listening to my special guest, Phil Snowden from the Meta Evolution Gym, and finding out more about what Phil does. And just to reiterate, Phil's website address is
metaevolutiongym.co.uk.
metaevolutiongym.co.uk. So, last 10 minutes, we're just going to crack on with a quick subject about black seed oil. Now, as I say, some of you have probably heard of it. Most of you probably haven't heard of it. And black seed oil comes from the seeds of the black cumin plant. And this plant grows, it's native to southwestern Asia, the Mediterranean and Africa. And it's been used for centuries in food, but also as a herbal medicine. Now, I've been doing a lot of research into black seed oil because I have some clients with certain conditions that potentially it could help them with. And there's been a lot of research, a lot of independent double-blind placebo clinical studies that have shown some really interesting health benefits of black seed oil. And one of the ones that's really caught the eye of the health industry, particularly public health, is the fact that there is a real big problem with MRSA at the minute, which is methicillin-resistant Streptococcus aureus, which is obviously the bacteria that we now know as a superbug. And it's been... These research papers have shown that in conjunction with black seed oil, it actually helps the antibiotics to be more effective. And there was 144 different strains of bacteria that were tested, and about 100 of them were wiped out with the addition of black seed oil, in addition to obviously the antibiotics. So there's quite an interesting connection here with the natural anti-inflammatory, antibacterial properties of black cumin oil, or black seed oil as it's commonly known, and obviously working with antibiotics, particularly in hospitals, because apparently about 90,000 people who get MRSA from superbugs die every year, and they reckon about up to 10% of all hospital patients that go into hospitals pick up a superbug infection, which is actually quite scary. But there's loads of other interesting benefits to black seed oil, because black seed oil is actually full of phytochemicals. So we have three major phytochemicals. We have thymoquinone, thymohydroquinone, and thymol. And what we'll do is on the next show next week, we'll go into a bit more detail, because I was so in the moment with Phil, and his interview was so interesting. We kind of ran over time a little bit on that. So what I'm happy to do is go into some real basics with black seed oil. But then on next week's show, we will have a chat about the benefits of black seed oil and where you can get it from and how to actually take it. So these phytochemicals, they are anti-inflammatory, they're antioxidants. They've been proven to actually help people with conditions like encephalitis, diabetes, asthma, and they've got some really interesting anti-cancer properties as well. And one of them actually acts as a free radical scavenger. Now, if you understand free radicals, they're kind of the things that do damage to the body. Imagine rust on a piece of metal. Well, oxidation happens inside the cell. And one of the phytochemicals within black seed oil is actually a real good scavenger at picking up these free radicals before they do damage to the cell. And also, they're very, very effective at protecting the liver and helping the liver to recover. So what we'll do, because we are running a bit short on time, we're going to cover this in more detail on next week's show, and I'll give you 9 benefits to taking black seed oil on a regular basis. So before we wrap up, just a quick reminder of my website address, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. If you'd like to make contact with me about anything we've discussed in the show today or any other issues, please feel free to drop me an email. Quick reminder of the show's Twitter feed, which is @HealthRadioShow. Drop me a tweet between now and next week, and I'll give you a shout out on next week's show. And you can find the show's Facebook page if you search Health Matters Radio Show. If you'd like to come on the show, as Phil has done this morning, to promote yourself and help people to get to know a bit more about you and your background and you as the individual, then please make contact with me via the website, my website, and we'll have a chat about you coming on as a guest. And that's it. So I'd like to, again, thank Phil for coming on the show this morning. It's been great to have you on the show, Phil.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Fantastic.
Enjoyed it coming on again.
And after the next song, it will be the Channel Radio News and Weather. So continuing the theme of 1972, we have a classic by Derek and the Dominoes, fantastic guitarist Eric Clapton, and it's Layla. So until next week, have a great week, stay healthy, and I'll catch you at 11 o'clock next Monday.